Okay, this is the May 5th, 2009 meeting of Pacifica's National Finance Committee. I believe we have quorum, so I'm going to ask our chair, R. Paul Martin, to call roll.
Secretary?
Our secretary, yes.
Ah,
secretary.
Okay. Grace Aaron.
Here.
Brian Edwards Seekert.
Here.
Sherry Gendelman.
Grace.
Bill Johnson. Campbell Johnson?
Yes.
Alberto Luera. R. Paul Martin here. Summer Reese. Jamie Ross.
Here.
LaVarne Williams. Susan Young.
Here.
We have seven. That's a quorum.
Okay, thank you, R. Paul. Okay, welcome everybody. Let's see, I sent around, you know, tonight we have an open meeting and a closed meeting. Did somebody just join?
Yes, Alberto did.
Alberto, excellent. Okay, we're just starting with the agenda. Let's see, I sent around a draft agenda, which I hope everybody received, which was to review the latest financial documents quickly. It's actually not, it's just a comparison, it's not new information. To discuss the network-wide cash flow projection situation. We actually don't have a network-wide cash flow yet, but we need to get one. Three, to review fiscal year 2008 audit. This was a suggestion of the KPFA treasurer, Brian. And also, we're supposed to do some financial impacts of a variety of things. And let's see. Now, Susan had asked for some other items, which I think she asked for a financial impact statement on the National Development Director. I think we're going to do that in closed session.
Okay.
The PFW.
Oh, LaVarne Williams.
Oh, hi, LaVarne. Welcome to the call.
Hi, Jamie. Thank you.
Let's see. You'd asked for PFW gala accounting. I'm confused, Susan. Did this get sent straight to LaVarne? Do we have to deal with that? I can't remember how that was handled.
Go ahead.
I think we referred it to the Finance Committee, but and LaVarne sent it out to everybody. I don't know that we need to act on it. What I'm just trying to do is to get the information out so that we do not have to spend a lot of time on that discussion at the board.
When was that sent out to everybody?
I don't know. A couple of times. When was the latest?
Was it sent to the PNB or was it sent to the NFC? Do you know?
I think I initially sent the first one to the PNB, and then the second one, I think I sent it to... I'm not on my computer right now, so I can't tell you because I...
Why don't we add that as item number five?
Right.
And let's see, the next item, the WPFW gala accounting.
Okay.
Then next item that Susan suggested was confirmed status of 1 million. We could ask Campbell or LaVarne for that at any time. I guess why don't we make that five and the gala accounting six?
I think that's great.
And WBAI travel costs, actually, that's in the financial income impacts. It's the NO trip to New York.
Okay,
B,
great.
Or B. Okay, so are there any questions or adjustments to this proposed agenda?
Brian here.
Yes, go ahead, Brian.
If we have stuff to do in exec session, do we want to set fix a time at which we'll move into exec session?
That's probably a good idea. What time would you... There's more to do here than there is there, but...
I think you probably have a better idea what that stuff is because I've only seen the one-line description. So I would just recommend we set a time and leave it to you to propose one.
I would say 10:30 or 10:15 or 10:30.
Okay, I'll move on.
Why don't we say
10:30?
Or as soon as possible.
Or as soon as possible.
Very good, Susan.
Okay.
Ever the optimist.
Right. Because I might not be awake for that part. Someone's going to have to call me on my other phone and wake me up.
Okay. So we'll get out of here at 10:30. 10:30.
Also, can we strike the first two items if we don't have new financials or cash flow projections?
Well, I would like to discuss the cash flow projection situation to talk about how we're going to get them.
Okay.
We could strike the first one. However, LaVarne has sent us a nice document from the national office, which is a comparison from this year to last year. I thought people might find it interesting to look through. I would not like to spend a lot of time on it.
Let me ask that. Is that the thing that you emailed the Excel sheet?
Yes.
With all the colors on the front page?
Yeah, it is pretty colorful. If people think that's not worth discussing at this meeting, we can strike it.
I would make it the last item in the public session, since we've already reviewed that month's financials and we have substantive business pending.
Okay, so you'd like to move that after 5. That's fine with me. And, okay.
Thank you, Brian.
Okay, are there any other suggestions or changes? Okay, hearing no changes, why don't we, is there any objection to adopting the agenda as it's been changed?
Without objection.
Pardon?
I said without objection.
Without objection. Okay, excellent. So let's do that. Let's go forward then. So the first item is a network-wide cash flow projection. This is something that we've been looking for and we actually need to understand what our cash needs are going to be throughout the rest of this year. Many of us are convinced that we're going to have cash needs that are going to be tricky to meet. So far, I believe we have cash flow projections in one form or another for the units KPFK, KPFT, WBAI, Pacifica Radio Archives, and LaVarne can correct me, and I don't believe we have projections for KPFA or WPFW.
Well, I can get better for that. On KPFA, I heard from Maria last night and then this morning, so sent it over, so I haven't been able to, you know, I traveled last night, my plane was like 4 hours delayed out of San Francisco, so, but I know it's there and I haven't had a chance to pull it up, so Maria sent hers, and Robert actually sent a copy to me of what he sent to Ron Pinchback. So I, Ron Pinchback just forwarded to me or signed up on it. But I know Robert has done the work. So
they exist. It's just a question of getting them.
So so what we'll do is we'll just consolidate them there at the national office, and we'll have. Lynn, just because in order for us
your voice is messing up pretty bad. Are you on speakerphone or direct line?
No, I'm on a direct line on a cell phone. Is anyone else having a problem other than Campbell?
Yeah, it is a little bit.
Oh, I'm hearing
okay. Well, let me just speak a little slower, and then maybe that will help. So what we'll do is those I have, we'll consolidate those at national office. I'll have Efren work on it tomorrow, make sure he has a copy, and then Lynn will have an opportunity to look at national office because, again, I think as I pointed out to Anthony that in order to know the national office cash flow, she will need to know your listener income, what the stations project for the remainder of the year. So she can generate that up for us. So I should have all of them, and I can check on if Efren can pull that together for right tomorrow.
Hold on, Campbell. Let's get on a stack if we're going to ask questions. Let's see. Are you finished, LaVarne?
Let's see. I got the reports in today because I did look at my mail, but I didn't get a chance to pull anything down. Or to load the stuff to look at it. So I'll look at that stuff tonight, and I'll communicate with Efren, and we'll see if he can consolidate. But I did get it by today, so we'll see if he can consolidate, and then we can gin up our national office cash flow, which again is based on the cash flows of the station for their listener support. The concern, as we know, is WBAI, and I pointed that out to Anthony Biddle that. A cash flow with negative numbers doesn't work. So that means that, in fact, tomorrow I'll be there with Indra and we'll go over her cash flow and we'll get a better number.
Okay. And I have a question for you, LaVarne. Is there a standard template that the cash flows at each station have, or is it somewhat each station uses their own template?
Well, the template is kind of the same, but in terms of, you know, the major items, like, you know, with WBAI, there would be rental makeup and transmitter makeup line. So each station would look at their major expenses. But let me explain what's happening with the planning for the budget. EFRIN is actually through with the template, and so what we will do is we'll send it out to all of you to see if that works. For the budget. And so it would also be one for cash flow, also be one for headcount. So he's actually completed the P&L template, and he's done it for K. So, again, what we need to do is to just send it out, all of you, and to the business managers to get their approval that this would work for them. But the other part of it, let me just tell you, I think it's a project for our committee, is that CPB and our auditor, there's a somewhat different format for grouping expenses.
Yes.
So I can scan it and send it to you guys, and we need to talk about a project for going to the suggested format from the CPB. And the other side of that, like I mentioned at the PNB meeting, is that you look at the expenses of just the stations without adding in the national office, that if you look at efficiency ratings as far as those grouping of expenses, well, our efficiency rating is at the bottom, whereas with the Democracy Now, you know, most of their expenses
Can I ask an interruption for a moment? Because we're dropping a word and every so often, and you know, it won't be helpful to try to come back to it. You said efficiency rating related to?
Related to how you're actually working as an organization, that, you know, efficiency, is most of your spending going toward administrative or operations, and if you're a radio station or radio network, are most of your expenses going toward programming? So there's like this efficiency rating based on where you're spending your money. You know, it's like, you know, let me compare it to, like, you know, overhead versus if you're giving out funds. So it's like if you're a foundation. So is most of your money going toward maintaining your overhead, or is it going toward funding other not-for-profits? So, you know, just in terms of ratings, so there's an efficiency rating there. So it does a rating by programming, administrative, operations. So
really?
That's something I'd like the National Finance Committee to, like, so when we send out these groups of expenses and really work on if our expenses, I mean, if it's really classifying correctly. And I think that, you know, we can get some movements up on efficiency just by classifying expenses correctly.
Yes, that's a good point. You know, so you're working on, if I understand you correctly, LaVarne, EFRIN is, or you and EFRIN are working on a new template that somehow classifies our expenses and income somewhat differently than what we've been doing?
Well, we haven't, to some extent, but not to the extent where I think that we as a finance committee can look at the expenses and particularly within your station and determine whether it's really, say, programming or whether it's operations or how we should allocate those expenses. Now, the template that EFRIN has done, you know, clearly includes, and we've also eliminated a lot of duplicates in chart of accounts, but his template is one that allows you to, like, basically what each station, each business manager will do is just drop in the number, and all the variables are calculated. So, okay. Yeah, so it's really exciting.
Good. We like to hear exciting news from... Okay, are there any questions for... Are you finished, LaVarne?
Oh, I hope so.
Okay, are there any questions for LaVarne on this topic, which I guess is the cash flow projection, and also she mentioned, new template for the budget.
Brian.
Well, okay, I hear Brian, and I hear somebody else?
Campbell.
Okay, Brian. First Brian, then Campbell.
Just two things. If we're on the brink of getting cash flows, I'm wondering if we can schedule a meeting now to go over them. I think the cash flow situation is probably the most immediate threat to the foundation's existence, unfortunately. And the second one is, do we need to start issuing a timeline to stations for budget development?
First let me start with the budget. Absolutely, we need a timeline. The committee needs to develop a timeline.
Are you setting deadlines for business managers?
Wait a minute, people talking at the same time.
LaVarne, are you setting deadlines for the business managers, or does the committee need to issue one?
It's for us, and, because the LSC has to approve the budget, so our timeline has to take us to the presentation of the board of the budget, the national board, and the approval. So your timeline begins with the development of the stations with the business managers and the general managers and with the treasurers, and take us through the final approval of the budgets by the national board.
That's not answering his question.
Do you remember, Brian?
I'm sorry, who said that I wasn't answering his question?
This is Jamie.
Campbell.
Jamie, Brian, I have a quick question for Brian that could clarify this issue. Do you remember when the first, what the first time point was? I mean, what... when the management presents a draft budget?
We generally start working on one in May, present it to our board in June, and ratify it in July. We do a two-round review with the board. That's on KPFA's LSC.
That's what we did last year for all of the stations.
Well, most of the stations were later than that, and that was actually a problem. The committee was really rushed and piled up, although it was better than prior years.
I suggest the committee get the old calendar and just gin up the calendar so we can review it at the next meeting. And if there's a start date sometime in May, I suggest that each treasurer talk with their business manager and see about the development and attention to this. And I think they are, because we've all talked about the format that EFRIN is doing.
So, LaVarne, if you want the calendar...
Okay. Yes, I hear you, Susan.
LaVarne, if you want the calendar set by the committee, I'll volunteer to pull whatever we used last year and update it and bring it back to the committee.
Mr. Chair?
As long as you don't, I don't want to step on whatever operational authority you're using as CFO to set deadlines for the people you supervise. So that's what I wanted to be clear on.
No, back in the old days, I actually developed a calendar with Lonnie. And then, whoever wants to take the mantle to do the initial pull of the calendar, you can get with me. You don't have to wait for the next meeting. And then we can just compare to the previous calendars and make sure that we deliver the budget on time. So that's what we have to work toward. So, you can call me anytime. Whoever takes the
okay, hold on one sec. Well, then, Brian, could I suggest that you pull up the old calendar?
Yeah, I'll do that for our next meeting.
May I suggest that we just handle it by email so that the board can adopt it or whatever and send it out after our May 11th board meeting?
Good.
Okay. Can you, Brian, talk to LaVarne before our next meeting, and at least can we agree? I'm afraid that there's going to be the first date is going to come pretty soon, and
yep.
I don't want to wait till our next NFC meeting to set the whole thing. If you guys can agree on what the first time point is, then we can work on the calendar after that at our next meeting. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I'm going to get a proposed document out to Laverne and the rest of you by tomorrow. How's that sound?
Okay.
Wonderful.
You guys can take it from there.
Yes.
And I move that we, that the National Finance Committee report that timeline to the board at its May 11th meeting.
Okay. Are there any objections to that motion by Susan? Okay, it passes. So we will report that and hopefully follow it. Okay,
good.
Let's see. Also, let's see, I believe, Brian, you had a question about the setting a date for a meeting with the cash flows.
Yeah, I want to do it pretty soon after we get the documents. So if we know that they're right around the corner, let's set a date now.
Oh, yeah. I received two documents. I haven't had a chance to download them, but I received the two missing ones. And that now that we have the missing ones, we can generate the national office and do a consolidated one. But
so what's a reasonable turnaround? 2 weeks out?
No. We have, I would say there are a couple of things within this week. I mean, hopefully sooner than that. Well, I'll just have to see. So download what I have. Talk with Andrew Carter about, because see, the concern isn't the whole network. The concern is VAI is producing a cash flow with negative numbers. So I will speak with Andrew about that tomorrow. Then we can work those out. And Jamie, if you're available at sometime maybe around lunch, we can call you also.
Okie dokie.
And so I'll talk with Andrew about that. That's one of the things that I'll talk with her about tomorrow. And then that's the only concern. So the others in good enough shape so that Efren can just consolidate those. It's just work. Hammering out the VAW and VAI, I'm sorry.
My question is, if we set like a meeting, for instance, for 2 weeks from now, do we have pretty good chances that we'll have consolidated cash flows by then to go over as a committee?
Two weeks from now should be fine. But again, I was trying to talk through what I can get done this week, but I guess you're just talking about 2 weeks from now, so yes.
Okay, well, do folks want to set a meeting right now on May 19th? That's 2 weeks from now.
So move.
Wait a minute. What date is that? That's 2 weeks from now. You said, okay, so that's 2 weeks. So that's Monday, right?
It's Tuesday.
Okay. I'm sorry. It's Tuesday in New York.
I know exactly. It's Tuesday. I know exactly how you feel.
That's fine.
Is there any objection to that?
And let me just say, I will send out our preliminary as soon as that's possible to the board and to the business manager so they can look at it, too.
Okay, so is there any objection to the 19th? I guess there wasn't. Okay, good. Okay,
yeah,
well,
that we have the numbers, except that we have to work through the BAI numbers.
Yeah, they've all got to get kind of meshed together and synthesized.
Right.
Okay, well, so that's good. So we have all that stuff. So I believe next on the stack was Campbell.
Yeah. This template that you're saying you're going to have by tomorrow, can you send that out before, before numbers are stuck all in there?
I'm not sure if I said I was going to have it by tomorrow.
Oh,
I said that Efren is working on it, and he has the KPFK worked out.
Yes, what?
So he has the KPFK template worked out, so we can use that as a trial in terms of if it works correctly, if the mechanisms and everything within it works correctly, and we're transferring back and forth from KPFK. The other thing we're working on is the reports that we generate, because the report that I sent to you came from Great Plains, but it's an Excel spreadsheet because let me just diverse a little. No one was really trained in Great Plains except the people who are no longer in the office. I think Ben Garcia was trained on Great Plains. I think Stephen or Alvin, but Lynn and Efren never...
LaVon, somehow I'm losing a word every so often because...
Yeah, you keep
it's,
saying
it's
that.
Coming through rather garbled.
Okay, let me just talk about Great Plains. Great Plains, the system I had noted in the interim CFO report that we would look at QuickBooks. So
thank
let
you.
Me just explain.
Thank
we,
you.
No, but we looked at QuickBooks, and this is the issue with QuickBooks, you know, through Lynn's investigation and with talking with our auditor, Tony Cole, there's no security on the general ledger part of QuickBooks. And you have to have a security on that so that, like, so that people in each station can't just go in and change any. The general ledger, you have to lock it after a certain date, and only one person in a national office could make any changes or unlock it so changes can be made. So QuickBooks is not an idea. So, but the other thing is that we turns out that our system, Great Plains, is actually a very good system if you have been trained on it. So what we have to do is get training, not just for people in the stations, but for Efren and Lynn, because other people
for,
in the office
the other one?
Were trained. Efren and Lynn in the national office.
Oh.
They haven't been trained. And what they learn is they learn it by, you know, you're smart enough to stay with it and learn it. But we have to get training, particularly on the report writing. And we talked with our auditor, and he and his group, you know, we talked about another system called Razor or something. Cost $100,000. Whereas what we need to do is to train our people who were not trained, or people who are no longer in the finance office were trained on Great Plains. So that's what we have to do so that we can use the report writing feature of Great Plains. And so we have to, so the reports that I send out are actually transferred to an Excel spreadsheet so that we know they have to do that, because that's long, tedious, and boring. The only thing it does, it allows you to see more intimately what is happening on each line in each station. So it serves a purpose, but it's just long when you can just do that with a report writer. And that's what we're trying to learn that. So that's what we're doing this week also.
Mr. Chairman.
So we'll be so we'll be ready for it, because the close for May is on the 10th.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you, Laverne. Let's see Alberto.
Laverne.
Yes.
Laverne, just a quick question. Who told you that QuickBooks does not have the protections?
When Lynn looked at it, Lynn looked at it, and she talked with QuickBooks, and our auditor also noted, along with his, he came, the auditor came and visited with us, brought my partners along, and that's their position also. And his partner actually talked about this system, I think it's called Razor, like I said, and it cost $100,000.
No, my only interest is QuickBooks. And I just want to verify that the company itself, Intuit, went ahead and told you they could not give you, that the program itself does not have the security that we're requiring. Is that the case?
I wasn't there for all the conversations, but I believe that's what we discovered. Was that it doesn't give the security for it so that other people can have, other stations can have access to the general ledger versus, you know, having each station have access to their own general ledger and not to the others. And that in terms of the feature of when you close the books, you have to shut it down. And those features were not available with QuickBooks.
Okay.
But if you'd like to check and see, that would be wonderful.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Alberto. Thank you, Laverne.
Can I ask one quick question? I'm sorry. Have you used QuickBooks in like more than one, like with more than one, like station or environment, so that enclosing the books?
This is Susan. We use QuickBooks, and my understanding is that is, in fact, a shortcoming with QuickBooks. So I was surprised that we would be able to use it for Pacifica.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great idea. I mean, an excellent idea, since it's so easy to use.
Right.
But, yeah.
Okay. Well, let's believe that we've tied up that item there. So why don't we move on to the next thing? which is a review of
Let me just finish the question. I didn't get an answer as to when this template would be available.
I can't give you a date when it would be available. I can only tell you that by the end of May.
Okay.
All right.
For every station. Oh, you're welcome.
Okay, so why don't we move on to our next item here, review of the 2008 audit. This item was suggested last time not to review the entire audit, but there were some questions, you know, some of us were interested in basically the numbers that are in the audit. And I believe I did email you guys the audit.
I don't think I have it.
Jamie? Today's mail, I think.
Yes.
Jamie, this is LaVarne. Can I just ask, I'm sorry, I don't have the written agenda in front of me.
Yes.
So after the audit, are there some more items where you need me to be here to answer questions? Because I don't really need to be on the audit thing.
The other thing that we have is financial impacts of sexual harassment training, the National Office trip to New York, and Human Resources Director hiring, which those might be helpful for you on the line.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And
okay. WPFW.
If you're the one who's been talking to the auditor, you might be able to shed light on some of these things.
Not on the numbers. The numbers are based on the auditor receives our numbers. I can only tell you on process with auditor, but not on what the numbers mean.
Okay.
Okay, so, LaVarne, so you're saying you'd rather not be on this part of the call, or?
No, go ahead. I'll stay on as long as I can, but when you absolutely need to talk to me, call me on my other phone, because I'm about to fall asleep. But, you know, just call, if I'm not answering and you ask a question, just call me on my other cell phone.
Okie dokie.
Everyone has that. Okay, thank you. But here, I'm here now.
You're here now. Okay, let's see. Brian, could I... let you start with this item, actually, because it was your suggestion.
Sure. I had four questions that came up from the numbers. The first is on page 2 of the audit. Pledges and other receivables, current portion, increases from 2007 to 2008 by $1.7 million.
This is the fourth line down. It increases from $1.8 million to $3.5 million.
Right, which seems implausible to me. So I'm wondering, are they changing, has the change of auditors changed the formula they're using to determine how much of a pledge is collectible?
Let's see, LaVarne, do you know the answer to that question?
You know what might be useful, Mr. Chair, would be if we identified the questions. I bet LaVarne can't answer them. They probably need to be posed to the auditor, and perhaps they can be posed through the audit committee.
Okay, that's a great idea. Okay, well, perhaps our secretary is diligently recording this question, but...
Oh,
okay.
Our ball.
Let's see, so the first line is pledges and other receivables.
Yeah, the reason is because... This increase in receivables makes last year look like a much better year than it was on the bottom line, and I'm worried that we may have a poor representation of the foundation's financial position here.
Okay.
And I don't know if that's the auditors or the people who were giving the auditors information or whatever, but I want to make sure that's a good number.
There was some issue with $1 million that was booked.
That would be the WPFW building, which is accounted for separately.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I wanted to drop attention to the question.
Well, why don't we let Brian proceed? I was just trying to give a helpful suggestion, which turned out to be wrong. Okay.
I want to draw people's attention to... page 4, net cash used by operating activities in 2008 is $1.5 million. And I'm not an expert at reading audits, but that looks to me like we burned $1.5 million cash on operations last year.
Page 5, where exactly?
Page 4, bottom of the first section.
Net cash provided?
/ used.
Okay. Net cash provided / used.
Okay.
Okay.
Somebody tell me when the audit was sent out.
It was sent out this afternoon with the other stuff.
I'm going to be on in 2 hours.
I'll send it to you again, Campbell. Okay, page 4, net cash.
And this is a question for LaVarne. On page 13, note 6, line of credit. It says the line of credit expires August 1st, 2009. Do you know what that means? Does that mean the bank will be calling in the line of credit at that point?
LaVarne? All right. Well, we'll notate that.
I guess the question is that adding to our cash flow problems?
That's a very good question. That's about 1 year after we got it.
I think it's 1 year to the day.
So
the question is, can we roll, huh?
Yeah.
We've been rolling it for months.
Okay. And I think this question has to do with how we're accruing year-end pledge receivables. The increases in net assets at the end of the year by unit on page 18 don't even remotely resemble our unaudited income statements. For instance, it shows KPFA with $150,000 surplus, increase in net assets, rather.
And KPFA did not have a surplus last year, correct?
No, I think it was about 120 deficit on the unaudited statements. It shows WBAI with a deficit of only 100,000.
And we thought it was more like 400 or something?
I think we thought it was more like 6 on a 12-month basis. So
yeah, that's the one thing that I did look at that looked weird. Okay.
So that's where I'm concerned. Changing how we're accruing receivable pledges may be distorting our picture of where we're at. And I don't know who liaises with the auditors on this, but maybe a note or something explaining their methods or anything they've changed about the methods.
Brian?
Mm-hmm?
Mr. Chair, may I ask Brian just real quickly to recap which are the questions?
I have it written down here. Brian, which line were you on with the last one? This is
page 18, the bottom line.
The very bottom line or 4 lines off the bottom?
Well, the difference between net assets beginning of year and net assets end of year.
Okay.
Which are the 2 bottom lines.
Okay, is that subtraction done somewhere?
Yeah, well, it's the same as 6 up from the bottom, increase, decrease, and unrestricted net assets.
Okay.
Or virtually identical to it. There's a small adjustment on temporary restricted net assets, but it's the same issue on both lines.
Okay. It seems all the numbers are too high, right?
I think it's how the pledge receivables are playing out. I just don't know why there was such a huge increase in pledge receivables.
Okay, good. Very good.
Oh, and I did have one other auditor's note number 2 on page 9. This is about our accounting practices. Second sentence, it says grant revenue is recognized as earned as expenses are incurred. I think that is the correct procedure under FASB 116, but I don't actually think it's in practice anywhere in the network right now.
Page 11? Page 9.
Page 9.
Repeat what you said.
Page 9, note number 2, revenue recognition. It says grant revenue is recognized as earned as expenses are incurred. That means because a grant's a conditional gift, you shouldn't be putting it on your income statement until you've spent it on the purpose it's intended for. In other words, if you get $1 million... grants it for a building, you don't recognize it as income until you buy the building.
Sure, of course.
And you say we don't do this?
We Don't do
well,
that.
The income statements I've gotten at KPFA have always shown grants as they come in, not as they're spent.
Right.
So I think the auditor's correct about how it should be done, but I think the right procedure needs to be communicated to the bookkeepers and business managers.
But Brian,
mm-hmm.
How do we deal? I think I'm answering my own question. But how do we deal when we get the CPB check at National?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it gets deposited in the bank and it gets recognized as money coming from the CPB. But I'm answering my own question. I think I am already. So the local radio station doesn't recognize the allotment that was sent to them by the national office until they spend it. But I think I can answer my own question that you go send the money to accounts payable rather than income, which is a form of income, but it is not necessarily recognized. Okay.
Yeah, you got it, man.
Yeah.
Okay, but don't we do... I thought we did recognize that the CPB grants were earned as the income expenses were incurred. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, but that's what the editor's note is saying, that we shouldn't recognize it as income until we spend it.
Well, I think that's how we are handling CPB money, because they're doing monthly accruals on that.
Oh, but it's all the other grants?
But it's not how we're handling restricted grants. And actually, 75% of the CPB grant is unrestricted.
I gotcha. Okay.
Oh well, let's move on.
So this is good. So we have a list of questions and that comment on grants, which we have to send to.
Can I ask for the just rapidly on page 9? Where exactly on page 9? Because I had a hard time getting to it.
The first paragraph.
First paragraph. Thank you.
Second line of the first paragraph.
Okay. All right. Are there any other comments on the audit? I have to say that thank you, Brian, for bringing these points up. I did look at the numbers on page 18, and I said, well, they don't look right, but then I just put it aside and moved on. So it's good to point those things out. Okay, so then I will forward these to our audit committee and to the CFO, and hopefully we'll get some responses here to understand, know what the deal is with the increase in receivables and the better-than-expected appearance of surpluses when we thought they were deficits and so on and so forth.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Mr. Chair, would you do us a favor and also forward those back to the committee?
I certainly will.
Thank you.
No problem.
The reason I asked, my job at KPFA is actually grant funded, and one of the grant makers asks for a copy of the audit every year and actually asks questions about it.
Oh, good.
Well, yeah, good.
Not good.
If we have a 2008 that looks distortedly good, and then the 2009 looks much, much worse by comparison, that puts me in hot water with the person who pays my one of the people who pays my salary. So,
well, that's not good.
Right.
No, but I mean, it's good that you guys are paying attention to this. I mean.
And it's a good way to clarify some of those issues.
Hey,
right.
It's not uncommon when you change auditors.
What, they have a different standard?
Well, that they may treat something differently, and we have a disruption in the communications because of all of the, personnel stuff that happened, people coming and going.
Right. Okay, well, we'll forward these on and back to the committee. Okay, so let's move on then to item number 4 on the agenda, which is financial impacts of A, sexual harassment training. And I'll briefly introduce this, and hopefully I'll let Grace go with it. I believe the point is that Pacifica, at least the California law, requires staff to have sexual harassment training. There's an outfit that does it at $15 a person at some online thing. And we have so many staff members that it adds up.
I think the law only requires supervisors. I mean, we do the trainings yearly at KPFA.
Okay.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, well, great. Why don't you come forward?
Oh, supervisors, it may. I sent the email around.
Here.
I sent the email around.
When did you send it? To the Finance Committee?
I sent it to the National Finance Committee earlier today. Ahmad responded.
I didn't get anything.
Okay.
I'll
try to reset. I'll look for
all
that.
All right. Let me. I didn't get a bounced message. Did you get it, Jamie?
You know, I don't remember.
I did.
Okay.
I think.
So it went to, let's see. I'm looking for it.
No, maybe it didn't.
Okay. Dollars for, yes, May 4th. Okay, I'm going to forward this to the committee.
Okay. All right, so I sent it to G. Yeah, here we go. Ahmad responded to this.
Ahmad, for you who don't know, it is the new human resources person in the national office.
Okay. Employers with 50 or more employees must provide 2 hours of sexual harassment training to all California-based supervisors every 2 years. And this is, this is Ahmad. Ahmad replied to me. Is this the one... Okay, if I send it to National Finance Committee, you all get it? I'm not sure you...
No.
We're talking.
No, it's. I've just looked on the website, too. It's not there either. So.
Okay, so...
NFC didn't get it.
All right, so let me send it to... I just sent it to the National Finance Committee. Let me send it to you all individually. Who else is on this? R. Paul Martin. There's one little confidential thing in here we won't mention.
Don't mention it.
And so I have Alberto, Brian, Sherry, Susan, Campbell, Jamie, me, and who else am I missing?
Summer.
Anyone else? Okay.
LaVarne,
right. And that's it. Okay, so I'm sending it all to you. And he said, Grace, you're absolutely correct. I spoke with Jennifer Kaiser yesterday about the Centrio online sexual harassment training provided in the past. I'll make contact with Gail Cohen, the Centrio representative, blah, blah. Although states vary with their specific sexual harassment statutes, the California compliance requirements are very comprehensive and will protect us from additional noncompliance issues, concerns in Houston, Washington, D.C., and New York. It's 2004, California's AB 1825. Employers with 50 or more employees must provide 2 hours of sexual harassment training to all California-based supervisors every 2 years. New hires / promotions to be trained within 6 months of assuming a supervisory position. The first sexual harassment training law to define periodic. Federal harassment and ethics training laws all use the term periodic. And then he defines what is meant by what the parameters are of the sexual harassment training.
Grace, my question is, does it have to go to the, is it required for supervisors? Is it required for everybody or only supervisors?
Well, I mean, we have so many. I believe probably we could get away with just having the sexual harassment training for paid staff.
Supervisors.
Because we have interface with so many unpaid programmers, it could be argued that they are supervising, that paid staff are in some way supervisorial over unpaid staff. So it would be difficult to define, especially in a lawsuit, who's a supervisor and who's not a supervisor.
That's, in KPFA, you know, first of all, we've been sued for sexual harassment, so we started doing this. They cast a pretty wide net in terms of defining supervisor, and they did assume that if you were supervising, if you were overseeing the work of volunteers, you should be treated as a supervisor.
Exactly.
It wasn't all the paid staff, but it was a substantial portion that were required to attend it.
We did it
as a group training, not one-on-one online tutorials.
I would like to suggest, because of the large amount of payouts and number of HR-related suits, that we have all paid and unpaid staff and LSB members complete sexual harassment training at $15 at launch, which I defined in my email. A launch is a person accessing the training, and it could take them several times to complete it. They can refer to it anytime they want to within a year of taking it. So that's what's considered a launch. It's $15 a launch. Having all stakeholders within Pacifica go through this training, we would be showing a due diligence regarding our responsibilities as a foundation to carefully train everyone within our purview on the law and what we expect of them in this foundation, because the expense is minimal in comparison or low in comparison to the amount we've paid out in HR-related lawsuits. I think it's an expense that's well worth spending in terms of prevention. We completed the training in 2007 at KPFK. It was went very smoothly and easily. There were really very few no problems at all with it. It's easy, and it gives us a record, an objective record, by an outside firm on the fact that we have, as a foundation, had performed our due diligence in having our employees, both paid and unpaid, go through the appropriate training. The other thing is, at KPFK, where we had much financial stress and also duress from HR lawsuits, we trained our LSB members because, in the opinion of several LSB members, other LSB members were making personnel errors in not reporting things properly, because LSB members also interface with different stakeholders at the station. So we found it to be a good thing to also request that LSB members go through the training. The total training with them, I really don't have unpaid staff member lists or even the total staff member lists at all the stations, but I would estimate that there are probably 1,000 people altogether at $15 a person. That would be about a cost of $15,000.
So just to clarify, we're not discussing whether this is a good idea or a bad idea. It's just our job to estimate how much it'll cost and where it might come from.
Right.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I have a point for consideration as far as discussion is concerned. Given the idea that is being put across, we at KPFD had an anti-sexism workshop not too long ago, and we were very pleased with it. The people that attended, of course, there was a lot of people that couldn't attend.
But what I'm trying to get at is, what would there be a consideration if we went ahead and allow each of those signal areas to pick up their own $15 per head instead of lumping it all together for the total network? Could we be looking at every station pays its own portion for their own staff?
Alberto, if I could address that.
There's a beeping on the line.
Yeah, I heard the beeping. Did anybody leave? Go ahead, Grace.
The administrative, the national office is very short on staff. The administrative efforts that are needed to chase up on general managers and other stakeholders and other employees at the station to ensure that these things get completed, especially if the HR director does it or even somebody else in the national office to keep track of it, could easily run to more than the whole cost of everyone doing the online training.
Yes.
If other training with a facilitator, if general managers care to do the training with a facilitator as well as extra training, but the standardization of having everyone in our employ, both paid and unpaid, and the LSPs go through the same exact training. The other thing is, with supervised training, even when it's excellent, sometimes there's no guarantee. With the online training, people have to pass the little test. So we know that they got it. If they don't get it, they have to go over it until they do get it, until they pass the little exam.
Grace, excuse me. I'm in agreement with what you're saying. I wasn't talking about that. I was referring to how are we going to pay for it, and I was suggesting that each of the signal areas, each of the local radio stations, put pay for their cohort of trainees, and that's how we address the issue of how we deal with the financial impact. I agree with what you're saying.
I'm sorry.
No, I was just talking about how we pay for it. Each one of the stations, you know, let's say at KPFT we have 50 people that are going to take it. We pay the $15 times 50 from the KPFT bank account, and so with BAI, with A, with K, and with W. That's what I meant.
Oh, okay. No, that's a great idea. That's very good. I'm sorry. I completely misunderstood you.
I'm sorry. I tend to talk too much sometimes.
Sherry?
No, that's okay. There one other little point. Ahmad said that he agreed that the sexual harassment training is a very good idea, the online sexual harassment training. And in difficult or problem situations, he would provide extra training as needed, either with individuals or with little groups of people if there were investigations and if several people, for instance, had complained about one supervisor or one individual, and where more training would be necessary, then more one-on-one training could supplement the online training.
Exactly.
Let's see. Okay, thank you, Grace. First, could I ask everybody, if you're not talking, to mute your phone? There's somebody's phone who's beeping.
What's the code for muting?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, and you're actually next on the stack.
Okay,
so,
thanks, Sandy. I guess, who is beeping, though? We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know who's beeping, but somebody's beeping.
Ooh.
What's the mute?
Maybe someone has gas.
I think somebody might have put their phone on hold or something.
Yeah.
It's what it sounds like.
Well,
yes.
If we each mute in serial, we'll figure out who it is.
Anyway, it's pound, pound one.
It'll be the one who's not hearing you asking them to mute right now.
Right.
No. Yeah, right.
Anyway.
The way we can do this, if we care, is we can figure out, somebody could tell us what the mute code is, and one at a time we can say, I'm about to mute, we mute, and that will give us a list of who's here and who.
All right. It's Sherry, and I'm about to mute, and then come back and ask my question.
Okay, go ahead. Well, it's not Sherry.
What's the mute code?
Not Sherry.
Okay, it wasn't me.
Okay, who wants to be the next volunteer?
Huh?
Yeah.
I believe it's somebody who's not talking, or we would notice it.
Yes.
Clearly.
And then we figure out
maybe it's LeVar. Maybe she
fell off.
He may have fallen asleep.
Yeah.
Laura, are you there?
I actually think she fell asleep.
That's what I think. So
Jamie, you might call her on the other phone and tell her she's beeping it.